Parashas Bamidbar. We now begin, with Hashem's help, to learn the fourth Chumash of the Torah. The name of this Chumash is Bamidbar, which means in the desert. And the reason why it's given this name is because this Chumash is going to tell us all about the many things that happened to the Yidden while they were traveling in the Midbar, in the desert. Until Chumash Bamidbar, we have learned how the Yidden have traveled through the Midbar already for over 1 year. They came out of Mitzrayim in the month of Nisan. Later they received the Torah from Hashem in the month of Sivan. Later in the month of Tammuz was the sin of the golden calf, the Egel HaZahav. And later, when it came Yom Kippur of the following year, in the month of Tishrei, Hashem forgave the Yidden for the terrible sin of the Egel HaZahav. It was then, on the day after Yom Kippur, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that the Yidden should build up a Mishkan for Hashem. We have also learned that on the Chodesh Nisan, the Shechina finally came down into the Mishkan. 1 month after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that is, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Hashem gave Moshe a very special mitzvah to tell the Yidden. And that's where Chumash Bamidbar begins, with that mitzvah that Hashem gave to the Yidden on the first day of the month of Iyar. Hashem said to Moshe, "Gather together all the Yidden and count all the men who are between 20 and 60 years old." And Hashem told Moshe that Aaron, his brother, should help him with the counting. And not only Aaron, but also the Nasi of each Shevet, that is, the leader of each of the Shvatim of the Yidden. Now, how were the Yidden to be counted? We know that you're not supposed to count Yidden directly, 1, 2, 3, and so on, but rather, Hashem wants that Moshe should count them in a special way. You might remember this from Parshas Kisisa. Hashem wants them to be counted by each Yid giving a half shekel. After getting a half shekel from all the Yidden who have to be counted, then you count up the half shekels and you know exactly how many Yidden there are. Hashem wants Moshe to record and write down how many Yidden are in each and every Shevet. Now, any Yid that Moshe had to count had to bring with him not only a half shekel, but also witnesses that would prove and say, "Moshe, we know that this man comes from Shevet Reuven, and this man from Shevet Shim'ain," and so on. In other words, a person couldn't just go over to Moshe and say, "I'm from Shevet Yisachar," or "I'm from Shevet Zevulun." Rather, they had to bring proof. And not only with witnesses, they also had to bring a certificate on which it says where the family comes from. And like this, Moshe, Aaron, and the Nesiim saw where he came from, and then they would record and write down exactly how many people are from each and every Shevet. Now, when Hashem told Moshe that the Nesiim should help, Hashem gave him the names of the Nesiim. Hashem said to him, "For the Shevet Reuven, you should take Elitzur, the son of Shedeur. for the Shevet of Shimon, you should take Shlumiel, the son of Tzuri Shadoi. And so on and so forth. Hashem gave Moshe all the names of the Nesiim. But there is one Shevet that Hashem did not name the Nasi. And that was Shevet Levi. Moshe understood that the Leviim are not to be counted right now. And as we're going to see later in the parsha, that Hashem told Moshe to count the Leviim separately. So now Moshe is only going to count all the other Shvatim. And even though the Shevet Ephraim and Menashe are from the same family of Yosef, yet Hashem gave Moshe two separate names of Nesiim, one for Ephraim and one for Menashe, so that they should be counted as two separate Shvatim. So now, Moshe, Aaron, and the Nesiim have a big job to do, a big mitzvah, to count 12 Shvatim. That is, all of them besides Shevet Levi. Now you may ask, why did Hashem want to count the Yidden? And not only this, if we take a look in Chumash, you'll see that the Yidden were just counted just not too long ago. In fact, this is the fourth time that Hashem is counting the Yidden. In Chumash Bereishis, when the Yidden came down to Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us that Yaakov and his family were 70 people. Then in Parshas Bai, when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us again their count, that there were 600,000 Yidden. Which also shows us the great miracle that the Yidden, who started off as a small family of only 70 people, ended up to be 600,000 people, and these are only the men who are between 20 and 60 years old. And if we include the women and the children and those who are younger and older, it means there were millions of Yidden. And that's because while the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, even though the Mitzrayim were beating them and tried to make them smaller in number, Hashem said, you're going to try to make them smaller in number, and I'm going to make them greater. And each time a woman gave birth, she had 6 children in one shot, as we have learned already in Chumash Mice. So now when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us there were 600,000. And then, the day after Yom Kippur, which was only about 6 months later, after the Yidden left Mitzrayim, Hashem told Moshe that the Yidden should be counted again, for a third time. And that's what we learned in Parshas Kisisa. So already 3 times the Yidden were counted. And now, about 7 months after Yom Kippur, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Hashem is telling Moshe to count the Yidden a fourth time. Why all of this counting? Especially, if we take a look in the Chumash, we will see that the same exact number of Yidden that were counted the day after Yom Kippur is the same exact number that is on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. There were 603,550 Yidden between the age of 20 and 60. So if the number is exactly the same 7 months earlier, the day after Yom Kippur, why did Hashem have them counted again on Rosh Chodesh Iyar? Well, there are many reasons that our Chachamim explain why Hashem is constantly counting the Yidden. One of the main reasons is because Hashem loves them so much. When you love something and you care for something so much, you count it over again and again. In fact, as our Chachamim tell us, that Hashem says, Whenever the number of the Yidden is mentioned, it makes me happy, because this is the number of my soldiers in my army who fulfill my will in the world. So this is one of the reasons why Hashem has the Yidden counted again and again. In fact, we're going to see it later in Parshas Pinchas that the Yidden will be counted for the fifth time. And that's why this Chumash is called not only Chumash Bamidbar, but it's also called Chumash HaPekudim, the Book of Numbers, because it has the numbers of the Yidden from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and later, as we're going to see in Parshas Pinchas. All of this just shows us how much Hashem loves the Yidden so much. Another reason why Hashem wanted the Yidden to be counted now is because since Hashem sent down the Shechina into the Mishkan, and the Shechina is supposed to be amongst the Yidden, Hashem wants it to be very clear that every Yid should know exactly from which Shevet he comes. And that's why he had to bring proof, witnesses, and documents to prove where he came from. From which Shevet does he come? Moreover, on this very same day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Hashem gave the Yidden another mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of Degalim, of dividing up all the Shvatim into four groups. And each one is going to have their Degel, their section, their flag. There is a special reason for this, as we're going to learn later. And now, there is another reason why Hashem wanted them to be counted. And that is simply because, as the Yidden were standing now, they were only 20 days away from entering Eretz Yisrael. That's right, even though we know that the Yidden were there for 40 years, but that was only because of something that happened later, after the counting. That was because of the sin of the Meraglim, the spies. But right now, on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, that was before the sin. And at this point, the Yidden were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael in just 20 more days. So Hashem wanted to know how many Yidden are fit to be in his army, in the army of conquering Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Hashem wanted Moshe to count all the men that are between 20 and 60 years old who fit to be in the army to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now, to carry out this special mitzvah, Moshe immediately called together the 12 Nesiim and told them, Hashem has commanded that you should help me in counting the Yidden. Let us call an assembly today and tell the Yidden about Hashem's mitzvah. When all the Yidden were gathered, they were told, all men over 20 years old are to line up in front of Moshe, Aharon, and the Nesiim. Each man must bring with him a half shekel coin and the documents and witnesses to prove from which Shevet he comes. The counting will start with Shevet Reuven. The counting began, and it took several days until the counting was complete. Just imagine what it felt like that every Yid who was between 20 and 60 was able to go, line up, and walk past Moshe, Aharon, and the Nesiim. Just imagine how it felt being face to face with such great tzaddikim. And as each Yid came forward, Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of the generation, and Aharon the Kohen Gadol, listened to each person's name, looked at him, and quietly benched him. Yes, This is the way every yid had the schus, a chance of being benched by the greatest men of the nation. And as every yid left, it made him feel how important he is in Hashem's eyes. When the counting was finally complete, Moshe had a record of every shevet, how many people are in each shevet. That is, the men between 20 and 60 years old. In Reuven's shevet, there were 46,500. In Shimon's, 59,300. Gad, 45,650. In Yehuda, 74,600. Yisachar, 54,400. Zevulun, 57,400. Ephraim, 40,500. Menashe, 32,200. Binyamin, 35,400. Dan, 62,700. Asher, 41,500. Naphtali, 53,400. Altogether, there are 603,550. And as you remember, the only Shevet that was not yet counted was Shevet Levi. That's going to be a little bit later in the Parsha. Now, after the Yidden were counted, Hashem told Moshe how the Yidden are to be in the Midbar. That is, where the Mishkan should stand, where Shevet Levi should be, where the other Shvatim should be. How should they all live together? Should they just be mixed up and live anywhere? Or there's a certain plan? Just like, imagine, when you come to a new class at the beginning of a new year, your Rebbe will show you exactly where you should sit. The Rebbe has a list and a plan. Reuven should sit on this side of the room, Shimon on this side, Levi on that side, Yehuda on this side. And he goes through the list of every child in the class to tell them exactly where they should be. The Rebbe also has a place for his desk, a place for the closet, a place where to hang up the coats. Everything has to have a plan, and when everything is in order, then there can be a successful year of learning Torah. Everything has to be with a seder, with an order. The same thing was in the Midbar. Hashem wanted that each and every Shevet should have his place, that whenever the Yidden would stop at a certain place in the Midbar, whether they'll stop for one day or stop for many days, but they should know exactly where to stop, where to put up their tents, and how they should live. And for this, Hashem gave Moshe a special plan. Hashem told Moshe, right in the center should be the Mishkan. And then around the center, surrounding the entire Mishkan, should be the families of Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi had three main families, Gershon, Kehas, and Merari. It is from Kehas' family from where Moshe, Aaron, and his sons came. And Hashem wanted that Shevet Levi should be the one surrounding the Mishkan. Moshe, Aaron, and his sons were on the east side, on the Mizrach side of the Mishkan, right near the entrance of the Mishkan. Like this, they were able to make sure that no strangers should enter the Mishkan without permission. Then, surrounding the Mishkan on the other sides, on the north, west, and south side, were the rest of Shevet Levi. So like this, the Mishkan were surrounded on all four sides by Shevet Levi. The Mishkan was called Machane Shechina, the camp of the Shechina, because that's where the Shechina rested. Surrounding the Mishkan, where all the families of Shevet Levi were, was called Machane Leviya, the camp of Shevet Levi. And then, surrounding the entire camp of Shevet Levi, were all the other Shvatim. If you take a piece of paper and make a little box right in the middle of the paper, and then make another box around it, and then a third box around that. So the very center one, the middle one, is the Mishkan, Machane Shechina. The second box is Machane Leviya. And the third box, which is around the second one, is Machane Yisrael, where all the Shvatim were. And do you know what surrounded all the Shvatim in Machane Yisrael? Yes, the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory. That surrounded all the Yidden all the time. Was there anything outside of the Anane HaKavod? Yes. Maybe you remember it from Chumash Mais, the Erev Rav. They had no place in Machane Yisrael, and of course not in Machane Leviya. Where were they? They were outside from the clouds of glory. Now our Chachamim explain why each group, each Shevet, and each family had a special place where they were supposed to be around the Mishkan, beginning with Moshe, Aaron, and his sons. Hashem said they should be on the Mizrach side, on the eastern side of the Mishkan, because east is the direction of the rising sun. That's the direction from where the light comes. Moshe and Aaron and his sons deserve to be there as a reward for the special light of holiness that they give out through their Torah and mitzvahs. Now Shevet Levi had three main families, Gershon, Kehas, and Merari. So Hashem said that Gershon, Kehas, and Merari should take the places around the other three sides of the Mishkan. Gershon is on the Mairav side, on the western side. Why on the western side? It is because there are certain things that come from the west, such as snow, hail, frost, and heat. And in order to protect the Yidden from this, that's why Hashem said that the families of Gershon should be on the Mairav side, on this side, because they had the special power from Hashem to protect the Yidden from these bad things. Then, on the south side of the Mishkan, was the families of Kehas. Why did Hashem want Kehas to be there? This is because, as our Chachamim tell us, that rains of blessing come from the south. And the Bnei Kehas, the families of Kehas, are those who carried the Arayin, which symbolizes the Torah. And that's why Hashem wanted them to be in the south, in order to show that when does Hashem give the Yidden the rain, in a way that it brings a blessing, that depends on their Torah study. The more they study Torah, the more Hashem will give them rains of blessing. Then, on the north side of the Mishkan, were the families of Merari. Now, why was Merari on the north side? Because as our Chachamim tell us, that punishments come from the north. And since Merari were the ones who carried the boards of the Mishkan, so this served as a reminder to the Yidden that anyone who would go away from the ways of Hashem will be punished with a wooden rod. Now we see how important it was for each group, for each family of Shevet Levi to be in their exact place where Hashem told them to be. Now I want you to know that there was a difference from the way Moshe, Aaron, and his families lived in the Mizrach side of the Mishkan than the other families of Levi. Moshe, Aaron, and his sons were right near the entrance of the Mishkan, very, very close. But the other three families, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, they were not allowed to be too close to the Mishkan. They had to stay the distance of 2,000 amos away from the Mishkan. That is, over 3,000 feet away. Now, let's move out from Machane Levia, from the families of Levi that surrounded the Mishkan. Let's move a little bit further out to Machane Yisrael, to where all the Shvatim are, and see where each Shevet was and why Hashem wanted him to be exactly in that place. But before we look into this, I want you to know that Hashem told Moshe that he wants these 12 Shvatim of Machane Yisrael to be divided up into four groups. Three Shvatim for each group. Let's start with the first three Shvatim that are in the east side. The first three were Shevet Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun. And Hashem said that although each group has three Shvatim, but we're going to call each group with one main name. And this group will be called Machane Yehuda. And Hashem said, since it is from Shevet Yehuda that the Jewish kings will come from, that's why they should be in the east, because the east is the direction of the rising sun. And the kings of the Yidden are also called light, because they are the ones who show the light of the Torah to the Yidden. And therefore Yehuda belongs in the east. And together with him was Yisachar. Yisachar also belongs in the east. Why? Because the families of Yisachar were those who studied more Torah than everybody else. They were the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. And since they are the ones who bring light to the world from their Torah, that's why they also belong on the east. And then comes Zevulun. Zevulun was also on the east because they are the ones who support the Talmidei Chachamim. Zevulun were those who did business, they made money, and used all of their riches to support the yeshivas, the Talmud Torahs, the Talmidei Chachamim, that they should be able to learn Torah. And that's why they deserved to be on the eastern side. And now, let's move over from the eastern side to the south. On the south, there were three Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. And this group was called Machane Reuven. Now, why were they in the south? Well, the reason Reuven is in the south is because dew and rains of blessing come from the south. And as we have learned in Chumash Bereishis, that after Reuven made the mistake, the Avera, with the bed of Bilhah, Later he has done teshuva and shown everyone the way of doing teshuva. Our Chachamim teach us that when a Yid does teshuva, Hashem gives us rains of blessing. So since Reuven is the one who represents teshuva, which brings rains of blessing, that's why he is in the south. Now Gad was also in the south, because they were warriors. That is, they were fighters for war. They were excellent fighters, because they were able to awaken Hashem's mercy. This is exactly like Reuven, that through teshuva we can awaken the mercy of Hashem. And that's why Gad and Reuven were both on the south side. Now the third Shevet that was there was Shimon. And Shimon had a little problem. When Yaakov benched his sons, he didn't give an open blessing to Shimon. Yaakov was angry that Shimon went and destroyed Shechem on his own, and also in the selling of Yosef. Also later, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave a blessing to every Shevet, he didn't give an open blessing separately to Shimon. And this was because of a certain sin that was done by members of Shevet Shimon. This was done in the city of Shittim, as we're going to learn about later in the Chumash. So since Shimon had no open blessing, not from Yaakov, neither from Moshe, therefore Hashem said, let Shimon live right in between Reuven and Gad. And since Reuven and Gad will awaken Hashem's mercy, that will help Shimon too, that all of these powers will also go over to him, that he should also get Hashem's mercy and strength. Now that we finished with Machane Reuven in the south, let's now move over to the west, and we're going to go over to Machane Ephraim. Now, as we learned before, it is from the west that there comes the snow, hail, frost, heat, all powerful forces that can cause death and destruction. And that's exactly what Hashem wanted Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin to be over there. Why? Because it's Ephraim and Menashe and Binyamin that all come from the same mother, Rachel. That's right. Ephraim and Menashe are the sons of Yosef, who's the son of Rachel. And Binyamin is also the son of Rachel. Now the family of Rachel had an extra special power to fight off all powers of evil, all bad things. They had the strength to conquer their Yetzihara, and therefore they were able to get rid of all of these bad things and protect the Yidden, that none of these bad things should ever come to them. Also, because it says that the Shekhinah is always resting in the west, on the Ma'ariv side. And that's why Binyamin, who is called Yedid Hashem, Hashem's beloved, Hashem promised him that Hashem will always have his Shekhinah on the side of Binyamin. That's why Binyamin was in that direction by the Shekhinah. And now that we finished with Machane Ephraim, let's go over to the fourth Machane in the north, Machane Dan. Part of Machane Dan was also Asher and Naphtali. Darkness comes to the world from the north. Dan was placed there in order to show that this is the Shevet who caused darkness to come to the world. Yes, many years later, there was a king, Yeravam, who came from Shevet Dan, who set up idols, Getchkes, in its territory. And also there were members of the Shevet Dan who worshipped another idol called Micha. This was in the days of the judges. And that's why Hashem put Dan in the north, from which harm comes to the world, in order to teach the members of this Shevet to give up their bad ways and follow the path of life, the way of Hashem. And together with Dan was Asher and Naphtali. Hashem said that since Asher has that special light of Kedusha, it would spill over to the darkness of Shevet Dan. Asher's portion of blessing was that he should have olives whose oil was used for the menorah. The menorah is a sign of wisdom. Yes, Asher is to share his wisdom with Dan. Also Naphtali was there, because Naphtali had a very special bracha to have a lot of gashmias, a lot of material blessings. And since Dan needed a special blessing because they were not so deserving, that's why they were near Naphtali, so the blessings of Naphtali would spill over to benefit Shevet Dan. Now, surrounding all of the Shvatim, all of the groups, was the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory. Now, I want you to know that this plan of how they are supposed to be around the Mishkan was not a new one. In fact, this is something that Yaakov Avinu has already planned for the Yidden many years before. When Yaakov Avinu was about to pass away, and he wanted his sons to bring him to Eretz Knan to bury him in the Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, Yaakov Avinu warned them, "These are my exact instructions as how you should carry my Aron. No strangers may touch it. Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun will carry it on the east side, in the Mizrach side. Reuven, Shimon, and Gad in the south. Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin on the west. And Dan, Asher, and Naphtali in the north. But Yosef should not carry it, because he is a king. It's not honorable for a king to carry an Aron. Also, Levi should not carry the Aron, because his children will one day serve in the Mishkan and carry the Aron of Hashem. It wouldn't be proper for someone whose Shevet will carry the Aron of the living God to carry a Aron of a human being. That's why Levi should not carry it." Yes, these were the instructions of Yaakov. And now, so many years later, Hashem is keeping the same arrangement. Hashem did not change it at all. As you have seen, the same way they carried the Aron, that's exactly the same way they're going to be in the Midbar. Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun on the east, Reuven, Shimon, Gad in the south, Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin on the west, and Dan, Asher, and Naphtali in the north. And this will also help that no Shevet can now start arguing and saying, "I want to be in the south, I want to be in the east, I want to be in the west." No, there is no room for arguments, since this is the design that was given to them by Yaakov Avinu so many years ago. Now, how did each Shevet know the boundary lines? That is, how did each Shevet know where its camp ended? Well, this was through a wonderful miracle that Hashem did for them. You see, as the Yidden went through the Midbar, a wonderful rock, which gave water, went along with them. This was called the Eira Shel Miriam, the Well of Miriam. because it gave water to all the Yidden in the merit and the schus of Miriam the great Tzaddikus. Whenever the Yidden prepared to camp, the 12 Nesiim got up and sang a song of praise to Hashem. This caused that the water of the wonderful rock started to gush forth, and it formed streams like little rivers coming from the big rock. One stream went immediately and surrounded the Machane Shechina, the camp of the Shechina, where the Mishkan is. It was a long stream of water, like a little thin river. So everyone knew, where is Machane Shechina? Then another stream came and marked the line for Machane Levia. And then finally a third stream came to Machane Yisrael. And then smaller rivers branched out from these main streams and marked the borderline between each Shevet from the other. And not only that, between even one family and another. And you know what else the water did? The water caused grass and trees to spring up at the riverbanks. The trees grew delicious fruits, which had the taste of Olam Haba. Now the Torah tells us that in the same position that the Yidden were when they were in one place, when they camped in the Midbar, that Machane Shechina, the Mishkan, was in the center, Machane Levia, the Leviim were surrounding it, and Machane Yisrael, the 12 Shevatim, were surrounding the two inner Machnais. This was not only when the Yidden stayed in one place, but this was also when they traveled. Whenever the Yidden would travel in the Midbar, they would stay in that position. Machane Yehuda was always in the front. On the right side was Machane Reuven. On the left side was Machane Dan. And in the back was Machane Ephraim. And this is the way they always traveled. And whenever they had to stop, they stopped exactly in that position as they were when they were traveling.